You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Paul Stresso. Paul is the Director of Parking and Transportation Traffic here on campus, and as you all know, there have been a lot of things going on here on campus this summer, and Paul is going to kind of straighten us out on what to do in case you're confused and you come to campus, not just visitors, but also faculty and staff. Paul, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me here.
And needless to say, it has been a nightmare, but I bet you it was more of a nightmare for you guys trying to figure out what to close, what to open, what routes to make for the pedestrians, et cetera. So why don't we start, kind of go back a few steps and tell us exactly when did the construction start?
Okay, construction started in phases. And if you remember, we can go back to March of 2012. When construction started on Hawthorne Street, which was a piece too of the transformation, and then the Wiggins portion began last fall, and you know, as we move forward, in May was the big closure. May was the campus core shutdown, and also what coincided was a TxDOT project, the Spur 1966 project, and the overpass that'll go over the interstate and down over to Paisano to allow our students that are coming from the lower valley, you know, they'll have a direct connect to campus and not have to exit Santa Fe downtown at the border highway. So eventually, because eventually TxDOT's going to complete the loop. So that, you know, that's going to be an added benefit. But, you know, as we're moving through the summer, Schuster had to shut down, so we had to reroute the shuttles through there. But just was in a meeting earlier, and we will be opening up Schuster for the first day of classes. And the only thing that won't open on that side of campus is a portion of P4, because, of course, the construction for Spur 1966 will continue. But we will be getting back about 150 to 200 spaces for students that they used to park in P4 on that side of campus. What we are doing we're trying to encourage more garage parking on that side of campus, and also some of the other lots that people might not know about. P14, which is just up the street on Schuster. It's about a block away from the intersection of Rim and Hawthorne, which is a popular entry point for many of our students. But that lot has a lot of availability, so we suggest some students, if they're looking for places to park, to use that. And also with our faculty, because some of our faculty were used to parking on Hawthorne and some of the areas off University and Circle Drive and on Kirby that are no longer available. And, you know, some of these areas won't be coming back after the transformation is completed. So we've encouraged them to move into garages or other areas. Now, most of our red zones, since we went to a three-year permit last year for all our faculty and staff, most of our red zones, there's not very much availability. So there's going to be waiting lists for anybody wanting to get into some of those zones. And, you know, of course, those are the more popular ones because they're next to the buildings that, you know, Liberal Arts is a big one, the education building, and, of course, the library and the business building also have a big red zone near them. But other than that, it looks like, you know, we're going to have some challenges. We're going to lose some lots. Another project that's coming on board that's coming on a little sooner than when we expected, it'll be the widening of Sumbo Drive. And that was to occur after the fourth home football game. But now that's been moved up to September 9th, Monday, September 9th. We'll lose that lot. And we'll start losing some lots off Sumbo, and particularly P6, which is that beautiful lot that overlooks the interstate and the old location of Asarco and into Juarez and Mount Cristo Rey. We're going to lose that lot for the duration of the project. There'll be staging in there. There'll be widening Sumbo. The first phase of the project, our northbound lanes will become two-way traffic. So we'll have one lane going north and one lane going south on Sumbo. The southbound lanes will be under construction. So those are the lanes next to P6 and the lanes facing towards the interstate. And that project starts towards the north end of the Sumbo garage, and it goes all the way up to the end of the Don Haskins Center on Sumbo Drive. So needless to say, it's going to cause some inconveniences because you know, as the lanes narrow down, we're going to have to ask people to drive really cautiously in those areas. But when it's, you know, said and done with, it's going to be a great enhancement to our campus.
One of the things that I've noticed is, and people have mentioned it, and I've noticed it in myself too, because Dennis and I ride the bus. And walking on campus, because where we used to just, you know, walk directly to the bus stop, there have been some detours with the fences. But what's neat about that is you get to see some parts of campuses that you've never seen before, because they take you on different detours and stuff like that.
Right.
Now, as far as what I have noticed is when you come in through the gate here on Sun Bowl, it's clearly marked visitors and the faculty and staff with stickers. But inevitably, there's going to be someone who will try and get in the other line, see if they can get in. And, of course, they just have to make a U-turn and get back out. So tell us a little bit about how this is going to affect our visitors.
Okay. Our visitors, we have three main areas for visitors right now. Two of them are paid areas, and one is the Sun Bowl Garage visitor section. But, of course, if you're going into the bookstore, we do validate for 1 hour. You know, so we'll give you free parking for 1 hour. We have some visitor parking with meters next to the union, and those are credit card meters now. So if you don't have change with you, and there is a change machine there in the lobby of the East Union, but if you don't carry change, you can use your credit or debit card and pay for parking that way. Also V1, which is next to the Mike Loya Academic Services building. And we have about 140 spaces in there available for visitors. But, of course, we have invited guests and visitors that at times come to campus that are invited to be guest lecturers or the part of a conference or meetings. And those visitors, we are creating some new visitor areas on Wiggins, just south of the driveway and south of Leech Grove, right in front of Benedict Hall. We'll have some credit card meters there. And on the other side where the Centennial Museum is, we'll have some meters. And then there's a zone just east of the West Kiosk as you enter on University Avenue, and we'll have four visitor spaces there. And as some of our listeners might not know, that the Centennial Museum will be the visitor and welcome center as we kick off our centennial celebration for our 2014 and celebrate our 100 years here. So a lot of activity coming on the campus, but an exciting time to be part of the campus, whether you're a faculty, staff, student, or a visitor coming to the campus to enjoy the beauty that this campus already has with its architecture. And it's only going to be enhanced once this campus transformation is finished.
Now, because there are going to be less parking spots available, it's going to be more of a pedestrian-friendly campus. What about the people, as you mentioned, who mostly have red stickers, or people who have – because correct me if I'm wrong, when we bought our stickers last time, they were for 2 years, were they not?
Yeah. They're a three-year sticker.
Okay.
And unless you want to change right now, we suggest that you keep your sticker. It'll automatically renewal. And you'll automatically be charged through your payroll deduction. But anyone that has a three-year sticker right now or a hang tag, they're all hang tags actually for faculty staff. If they're happy with the area they're parking in, I would suggest they just keep that. But if they have questions, they could always come into our office or call us. And we'd be happy to help, you know, plan their way and if they need to change parking. Some of our faculty, once in a while, they get rearranged from where their offices might be or classes might be taught. So, you know, they might want to change where they park and approach campus. So we're always happy to help them and answer any questions as far as that goes.
A lot of some emails went out earlier in the year as far as people who have ADA parking placards. What about those people, and what about visitors who have the blue placards?
All of our ADA faculty, staff, students, or visitors are welcome at any time through the inner core of campus. And what we ask our faculty, staff, and students is, depending on the areas that they need to access campus, is they need to contact CAS and they need to contact our office. Now, faculty staff would contact Sandy Voskis over at Institutional Advancement in the EEO Compliance Office. But we're happy to help them with their parking arrangements. And there's metered spaces throughout the campus, but we have maps and we can point out and help people people get around, because a lot of people might be coming, and even students that for the first time on campus that might have an accessibility issue, we encourage them to register with CAS, because then we have them on our radar. We know who they are. We can reach out to them and help them with their parking needs, and CAS can help them with if they need to rearrange classes or help them get to areas that are accessible. During the transformation, of course, there's some areas that are kind of hard to get to, but we've tried to make some ADA pathways throughout that construction zone to get people around. But we're also going to be adding some more ADA spaces. And part of the transformation is looking at the amount of spaces we have on campus and probably increasing some in some cases. You know, we meet all the legal requirements, but we always want to be a good steward to our customers, and we always want to exceed what the minimum standards are. So we'll be looking at that as we go through the transformation. But overall, I think some of the levels, if people remember how it was to get from Hawthorne and walk up to Kirby, that was a pretty steep hill. It's going to change. You know, it's going to be a lot more level walking area. So as a pedestrian campus, it's going to be a lot easier to get around campus. It's going to be a lot more pleasant to walk around these areas that have, trees that are providing shade, where you have a shade structure on the east side of Hawthorne now. So there's a lot of enhancements for our pedestrians. And, you know, with 22,000 students, that's a lot of students walking through our campus during class changes. And the sidewalks, if people have noticed, the sidewalks have gotten widened. The Wiggins Project just right now in front of the library and Herzog and College of Health Sciences and Nursing Building, if people will notice that the sidewalks there have just recently gotten widened. So we're providing better pedestrian areas, for our students, our faculty and staff, and our visitors.
What about, Paul, as far as once the football games start, football season starts, and, there are some people who do have ADA placards, and it's hard enough for them to, climb a hill or climb stairs. But people who have never parked in the parking lot here on Sun Bowl Drive may not realize that if you park there, if you exit through the other side, I mean, you're there. It's almost like you're at an NFL stadium, whatever, because the stadium is just there. You just walk right in.
Exactly. Right. We have several areas for our ADA patrons. There's some areas in front of the Sun Bowl and the North Sun Bowl. And then for our general public that aren't season ticket holders or is coming to only one game or maybe coming to several games, we have an ADA dedicated lot over at R6, which is over by the Helen of Troy softball field. And we have two dedicated shuttles that are traveling throughout the game to get our patrons back and forth. And we have several ADA entrance points into the campus. One entrance is at the P7, the press box lot. Some of those are season ticket holders, but there's an ADA entrance there that the bus stops through. And then the other ADA entrance is at the north end of the Sun Bowl, because that's a level playing field. So anyone that has trouble walking or might be in a wheelchair, we suggest that they take that shuttle.
Paul, I'm not sure if you have anything to do with this or not, but I know that one of the other programs, new programs, have been kicked off. Is the Rent-A-Bike, and then, of course, we've had the carpool for a while.
Right. Our carpool program, we kicked off about 5 years ago. It's been very successful, and, of course, it peaked about 2 years ago when gas prices really started to spike. But, it's about a 15% discount over a regular price permit, and that's for faculty, staff, and students. And we try to locate those in strategic places throughout the campus. And as we move forward, we also have a carpool matching service. So say you need a ride into school someday, you can log in and register and find somebody from your part of town that might be driving this way, and even people that live in Las Cruces. So those are all on our website at utep.parking.edu. And, those are two services. We continue to work with Sun Metro in mid-September. An additional express route to campus will be implemented by Sun Metro, and that'll be way on the far east side of town at RC, Poe, and Edgemere. And that express route will come downtown, and they'll make a transfer onto Route 204, but Route 204 goes right up Oregon, drops off in front of university near where the credit union is to be, but where the new GECU credit union is being built, and then over at the Glory Road garage. And that bus runs from about 6:30 a.m. to about 5:30 p.m. During the regular semesters.
And once again, it's important, as you mentioned, that people log on to the parking website and register their vehicles with the proper license number so that they don't get tickets in case they see a placard that doesn't belong there, et cetera.
Right. And we also encouraged, you know, many of our students choose to park in the neighborhoods around campus, and we always urge them to make sure they're not parking in zones that might be restricted, because some of the residents in Kern Place and Sunset Heights have restricted zones, and that's due to because they don't have accessible parking for their own vehicles. They might not have driveways, no access through their alleyway, so the front of their house is the only place they can park their personal vehicles and for their, you know, their visitors. So we always ask the students to look at those signs, because typically those signs are in effect from 7 a.m. to about 4 or 6 p.m. Monday through Fridays, and it just depends. Each zone has a different – so we also suggest to not park – to not get tickets from the city, because the city tickets are a lot more expensive than what we give on campus. But to remember not to park it within 25 feet of an intersection, so 25 feet within a stop sign, not park near a fire hydrant, not block somebody's driveway, not park in a no parking zone. So many times we get students coming into our office and – you know, we can't do anything because it's a city issued municipal ticket, and they would have to go to municipal court to argue it. But and sometimes they get towed, you know, and that's the scary thing, is come back and find that your car's not there. So we suggest due diligence, and we always try to put some of those helpful tips on our website to, you know, help students select their parking options. But, you know, one of their options is to park in some of the areas around campus that are free, and, you know, we know that students are going to do that. We just encourage them to be smart about it so they don't get a ticket unnecessarily.
Just one more thing, Paul, and this may not be that important, but what are the rules as far as, you know, some people back up into their parking lot, and then, of course, there are some people who have a nicer vehicle, and they will take up two spaces.
Right. If they're taking up two spaces, that's punishable by a fine. As far as backing up, we seldom enforce it unless it's blocking into the sidewalk area, and because of ADA regulations, is our sidewalk has to have 36 inches of free clearance, because some of our students are wheelchair bound, and you know, it's not fair for them to not be able to get through a sidewalk because somebody's car protruded, and you know, some of those bigger trucks, if they back in, their wheelbase is a lot closer to the passenger's part of the vehicle, but their tail end sticks out quite a bit. So, you know, we should just suggest as common sense when parking. I just wanted to touch base on a few lots that are going to be closed and some changes for football season, because we know that's coming up. Our RV lot, which was P4, and that's the big lot off of Sumbo Drive in Schuster, because of the construction that will be ongoing, we're not going to be having RV parking in that lot for this year. So it's going to move to R5, which is the old Rudolph lot. And we're still going to have general admission parking for the general public on the Mesa side of that lot. That's a pretty big lot. And we've also added three areas for general admission parking for the public, and that'll be S6, S4, and S3. And those are all reachable through Sumbo Drive. But there will be some changes on Sumbo Drive through north of Glory Field, through Glory Road on Sumbo, down to the press box area. Some of that area will be closed off, and we know in the past we did have some people tailgating off of those areas, and then we had that area chained for pedestrians and also for roll-off dumpsters. But all that will be in the construction zone starting September 9th. So after that first game, it'll be quite different. There won't be any parking in P6, and the press box access will be limited, you know, to the folks that need to get there.
Well, Paul, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Paul Stresso, Director of Parking. If you need additional information, you can go to utep.parking.edu and check out the various options that you have. Or you can call the switchboard is 747-5000 and then just ask for parking. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Lee.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Rule. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.